Good, I'm going to ask Mr. Sell if you come up, please, and bring the word. Psalm 20, a prayer for victory in battle. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Sorry.
Or any great challenge. So I'm sure all of us, we're probably not in a literal battle. I'm sure we have challenges in life. Life is full of challenges. Life is full of difficulties. Life, I think, is a battle. Someone said the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. We know not again what a day brings forth. So this is a prayer for victory in battle. So this is for us today. This is something that will help us. Remember, God's word is there to reveal God, but also to help us as we live the Christian life. Life's a battle and a challenge, and we're told to be joyful. We are told many times, Book of Philippians, which we will refer to, be joyful always. So that's the way we are to live. So how can we live when we're going through these challenges and battles? Well, we look into God's word for our encouragement. Life, as I have said many times, is a series of hills and valleys. Victory in battle. Look at verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Remember, Jesus said, they who are whole have no need of a physician, but they who are sick. And the great Dr. Lloyd-Jones said, we must realize how weak and vulnerable we are in the Christian life. So we do need help. Remember, we follow in the footsteps of our Lord and look at his life. Look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. His days were days of trouble. What did Jesus do? He turned them into days of prayer. Remember his agony in the garden in Matthew 26. Remember when we read, he sweat drops of blood. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was doing that ultimate battle, remember. He's that ultimate warrior as he went to the cross. Remember what he was going to do on the cross. Remember the full horror and the suffering that he was going to undergo. So we need victory in the Christian life. Jesus knew in that agony as he faced his biggest battle, he knew that the Father had heard him. Remember, it wasn't until he prayed three times that he was strengthened and that answer came. So the battles of life. Someone has said, troubles roar like thunder, but Christ's voice will be heard above the storm. You remember Peter, when the disciples were in the storm and they were terrified and scared and afraid. Remember, Jesus was not with them, Matthew 14. And in the midst of the storm and the troubles, who did they see coming out to them walking on the water? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he commanded Peter, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you on the waves, remember? And out he went on the waves. But then when he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the wind and the waves, down he went. So troubles are going to come. Life is a battle. And we need the Lord Jesus to give us victory. So just looking at just these first few verses, it's a very short psalm. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Well, this is really encouraging because reference is made here to the God of Jacob, one of the patriarchs. Remember how the Lord helped Jacob. Defend and protect you, or set you in a high place. Oh, Jacob, we read about in Genesis. Just to remind you, remember when he wrestled with God in Genesis 32, Jacob. And Jacob, Genesis 32, 24, and Jacob was left alone and there wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and he said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob was wrestling with the Lord, and he persisted, and we need to do the same. But it's this powerful God. Names are important in the Bible. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you and send thee help from the sanctuary. And as we think of our life, what more help could we want than to have help from God Almighty from heaven as we go through the Christian life? So we just have to realize this and understand it. It is the God, the all-powerful God, who will help us. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. This is the God who is going to help. This is truth. This is theology, as I said this morning. What do we know about God? Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was defended and preserved by God Almighty, in his battle. And we as his church, his mystical body, we are on this earth. And again, we do not realize this life is a battleground. It is a fight. It's the fight of faith. We're fighting forces of evil, Satan and his forces of evil, which we so often forget. We walk out into our lives and think, we don't need protection from anything. We don't need any help. We can almost behave like we are our little gods. But we do. So this is a prayer. In a sense, we're all wrestling Jacobs. You know, we're beset with dangers, and we need prayer of protection, temporal protection and spiritual protection. We really do. Look at the blessing. This help, the name of God, reminds us of the covenant God. And then where does this help come from? From heaven. And we're going to be strengthened by the God who is in heaven. This is a great truth. There is no help as which God sends. Spurgeon says, are you going through trouble? Are friends not helping you? Are you all alone? Spurgeon says, good. Then you rely on God alone to help you. You rely on God alone because everything else fails. Everything else apart from God fails. As I said this morning, when God is all you have, you realize God is all you need because everything else will fail. Health fails. As I get older, we realize health fails. Money fails. Finances can go. The whole financial system of the world can fail. We live not very far from, we're very near the city of London. Things can fail. And then, of course, anything human can let us down. The only thing that can't fail is the Lord, because we read here, he's the Lord. He's the King. He's sovereign, all-powerful, all knowledge, all wisdom, created everything. Every star you see in the sky, the billions upon them, he made them. He named them. He runs the whole cosmos. And yet sometimes we think, well, when we're going through our little trials and tribulations, God can't help us. He's a long way away. The world is so powerful, but of course he can. So Spurgeon says, good, if you're alone with God, that's all you have, so much the better. God can raise up human instruments to help us, but we rest upon him. So this is a prayer of protection. And remember with Jesus, in Yagin in the garden, one of the accounts says that an angel came from heaven to strengthen him. So Spurgeon again says, he said, that's Spurgeon's favorite angel, if I remember rightly. This angel came and helped Jesus, sent from heaven. God does the same for us. There is no help. There's no help like that which comes from the Lord in heaven. So let's meditate and think about who this God is. He is powerful. The context of the psalm was impending battle. So, you know, David here is preparing to march. You know, prayers and sacrifices have been offered. Men have been grouped with their standards. You know how those great battles were fought. And he wanted God to help him. He wanted God to defend him. Remember, Israel so many times thought, well, we're very powerful now, we'll win, and they lost. And many times they were sometimes very small and outnumbered, and when God was with them, they won. It's very simple. We don't seem to learn the lesson. So David's marching to battle. We are marching to battle. That's the Christian life. You know, the congregation of wishing him success, that's verses 1 to 5, have corporate invocation of blessing here. And we have the king replying in verse 6. Remember all thy offerings, accept thy burnt sacrifice, grant thee according to thine own heart, fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. So the people are responding. Someone has said this is one of the most stirring psalms. Why? Because it's life and death issues. Life and death issues are here in these big battles. So the first part of this psalm, which runs from verses 1 to 5, is the Lord answer you, and he will. You know, the Lord does answer our prayer in his time and in his ways. We don't use the divine name as a kind of magic charm. We rest on the truth. God is all powerful. God will help us. God will reveal who he is, and he is ready to help us. He was committed to Jacob, and he will be committed to us. So this first part, we see it fulfilled. To push through into the New Testament, in John, the Gospel according to John, and verse 14, John 14, and verse 14, we read, our Lord says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Isn't that a great promise as we go through life? So we take our prayers to the Lord in going to that beautiful passage on Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17 and verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thy name were, thou gavest them for me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things, whatever thou hast given me, are of thee. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray for them. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. So the Lord will answer from his sanctuary. He knows what he's doing, and he will be with us in those difficult times. So many of the Psalms, remember, start with a worry, a problem. Then we have this meditation on who God is, and then the psalm ends with rejoicing and praise because God helps. The situation doesn't change, but the human heart changes. So the Lord answer you, he will answer. That's the verse 20, verses 6 to 8. Going back into our passage. So we will rejoice in thy salvation, verse 5. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all thy petitions. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great promise? Prayer is never wasted. So the Lord answer you. And then verses 6 to 8, he will answer you. So this is comes down to trust. Now know that I, the Lord, saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. It's a promise. What's going to happen to you next week or the next month or the next year? You don't know. But when those tough times come, what a promise. I know the Lord saves. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. That makes it personal, doesn't it? His right hand. He will help me. He will answer. So what David is doing now, he's bringing God's power into the midst. You know, God's power is unlimited. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 48 and verse 1, hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. Here is God making this promise and commitment to his people, Israel. And then, this salvation coming by his right hand. Another part of Isaiah talks about God holding us by his right hand. Then we get this famous verse, this lovely verse, verse 7. This is all practical theology. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name, or we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Chariots and horses were the most formidable force in ancient times. Israel did not have chariots. Chariots made of iron, horse-drawn, they were the super weapons of their day. And some are trusting in worldly power. And it's very easy to do that, isn't it? To trust in everything except God, but everything else fails. Chariots and horses, the most formidable force of ancient time. But remember, crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 14. Remember that? The Hebrews had escaped from 400 years in Egypt. And they get out into the wilderness. They escape from Pharaoh, and Pharaoh changes his mind. Remember that? He changes his mind. And what does he do? He comes pursuing the Hebrews, his chariots and horses. And ahead of them is the Red Sea. And they don't have any boats. No one's built a bridge. Behind them, Pharaoh's coming with his chariots, his soldiers, his mighty army. And then what's Israel to do? Army behind, sea in front. What does God do? He splits the sea in two. The Hebrews go through. When they're the other side, the sea comes down. The wording there is similar to the falling of the walls of Jericho. The sea collapses on Pharaoh and his mighty army and his mighty chariots and horses. So we are reminded of that crossing of the Red Sea. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In other words, we are trusting in who God is. Who God is. He is our Heavenly Father. He loves us and cares for us if we're his children. And he is all powerful and is in control of everything. So we trust in him, not things in the world that will fail, that have no power. They are a mirage. As I said this morning, when you realize God is all you have, you realize God is all you need. Verse 8, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. So what a great promise there in this beautiful passage, in this beautiful psalm, that we are to trust in the Lord. My New Testament passage for this is Philippians 4, which, remember, we're commanded to rejoice. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So we're commanded to rejoice. How can we rejoice when things are difficult? Well, we're told, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is here. The Lord's there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then we read, so you tell God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there we're told, do you want peace? Do you want joy? Do you want that serenity in life, that calmness? Do you want to beat the storm? Here is the answer, isn't it? Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. And again, it echoes that psalm, prayer. Remember who God is. I adore him. Adoration, that's how our prayer should begin. Then we realize we're sinners, as we looked at that passage this morning. We confess our sins. Then we bring our petitions. Then our thanksgiving. And we're promised peace of God will come. No matter what you're going through, no matter what life throws at you, we have this great God in heaven who rules supremely and is in control. He can run the universe. He can run our lives, can't he? He knows what he's doing. If, again, we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, we know the Lord has a purpose. He has a reason. Like Jacob, he knows what he's doing. We need to wrestle with God sometimes, wrestle in prayer. Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes God has to give us a little kick. Jacob was arrogant, wasn't he? So what did God do when God wrestled him? He dislocated his hip, which gave him a permanent limp. Sometimes we have to learn, as I said this morning, it's God's way or the hard way. And sometimes God has to give us a little kick on the hip, dislodge that hip, wake us up to remind us sometimes that we are not God. There's one God, and that God is not us. And we have to realize that. That we are dependent, fully dependent on the Lord Almighty. So let's, as this psalm closes, if we realize this truth, remember the early Christians, they were joyful, they were glad. What was the characteristic of the early church in the book of Acts? It was they were joyful and they were glad. Well, why? It was not an easy time to be a Christian. We think times are hard today. It's much harder back then in the first century to be a Christian. Think of John on the Isle of Patmos. When he was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, for all he knew, the church had been wiped out. The great persecution against the church had happened, and John was in prison. And many scholars believe he would have thought the church was completely wiped out and destroyed. So there he is in his prison cell on the Isle of Patmos, probably praying a similar prayer as we read in Psalm 20. And he's very discouraged. And he says, this is really bad. Remember, he was the oldest apostle. He lived the longest. And then suddenly in his prison cell, The risen Lord Jesus appears to him in bright clothes and that incredible encounter. Notice that John trembled with fear. The disciple that was closest to Jesus trembled when he saw the risen Christ appear in that prison cell. And then the Lord Jesus reminded him, no, the church isn't destroyed. It's still going. And I am the head and I am in control. So we are just reminded that times of trouble should be times of prayer. This psalm also teaches us to depend and pray. How much do we pray? You know, how much do we pray? How much do we, our prayer reflects our dependence on the Lord, doesn't it? If we really believe God is all powerful and he can help us from heaven, you know, we're by his right hand, that he's in control of everything, you know, why don't we pray? Because we don't believe as we should. We need to capture this vision of our great God. This constant repetition of the name of God and who he is reminds us of his power and his glory. As I said again before, you know, that last verse 9, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. Will hear us when we call. The theologians tell us when you pray to the Lord, he listens to you with his full attention because he is God. God can listen to your prayers with all the attention of his whole being. He hears every prayer. He will answer every prayer. When we read about the lives of the Puritans, the Valley of Vision, which so many love, when we read in the lives of these great men, look at their prayer lives. Look how they prayed. Look how they trusted. Look how they faced persecutions. Think of the martyrs. Remember, in this country, not so long ago, you know, Saturday afternoon market days in town, you had Christians being burnt at the stake. Men and women for their faith. And they went with such bravery and such, they say the early Christians that were thrown to the lions would be singing psalms in those arenas as they were killed by wild animals. And then we read about persecutions today that happen all over the world. Remember, there were more martyrs in the 20th century than any other century. We say, how do these people do it? They come to church and they're harassed, persecuted, beaten, and imprisoned. And yet they seem to have the joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So the King of the universe, the King of all the ages, hears us when we call to him. He loves us. He cares for us. We're told every hair on our head is numbered. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without our Father's consent. The lilies of the field, which are here today and tomorrow are thrown in the oven to heat up the oven, God cares for that. So how much more, Jesus says, does he care for you? Part of our faith is to realize and meditate and ponder. God will not let you down, Christian brother and sister. He will not fail you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He knows what he's doing. We will trust in him. Life is difficult for some of you. You will trust. The suffering seems to go on and on and on. I trust my heavenly Father that he knows what he is doing. He is wise, infinitely wise. He knows me better than I know myself. And he knows what he's doing. So we trust in that infinite wisdom of God. Then we trust in that infinite power of God so he can do anything. But then we have that infinite love of God for us, his children. You combine the infinite power of God with the infinite wisdom of God and then the infinite love of God. Some of you here might feel you're not loved at all, but God loves you. Jesus loves you so much. If you're his child. And then we rest in that. What can man do to me? Man is nothing. Nations are but a drop in the bucket, Isaiah says. So let's remember, unless we think, as I previously mentioned, The demonstration of the love was God sent his son Jesus. Jesus came into this world and he went to the cross. Think of the cross. As we stand by the cross and we read in the Bible that Jesus on the cross, after he'd been beaten and tortured, had his beard torn out, lashed with that Roman lash, as he hung on the cross, he was unrecognizable as a human being. You would have walked by the cross and looked up there and you say, that's not a human being up there. So battered he was. And as we hear his shrieks and cries of agony, we see this beaten human being hanging on the cross. And if that doesn't shake us out of our pride and rebellion and self-satisfaction, nothing will. And then remember, the wrath of God was poured out upon him to the severity to meet God's justice that would have come on us. Jesus went through hell to save us from hell. That demonstrates his love. So that Christ, my God and my King, loves me, cares for me. He can deal with anything in my life. I trust him to guide me to that heavenly destination. We're on our way to heaven. Eternity is a long time. This life is short. Eternity is forever. I close with Jonathan Edwards, who has this lovely thought. When we get to heaven, and I quote Edwards when I'm worried if I'm on slightly, you know, shaky ground. But Edwards says, in heaven, when you're in heaven and you see Jesus, he will be the most humble person there. You'll be the most humble person there. You will speak to him as his disciples would have spoken to him by the Sea of Galilee. He'll be the most humble person in heaven. And at the same time, he will be the greatest in heaven. King of kings, Lord of lords. He will still have the wounds. He will have the wounds in his hands. He will have the wounds in his feet. He will have the wound in his side. They will not be healed. They will be their wounds, not scars. That will say to us, look how much he loved me. He really loves me. Jesus really does love me. And then we will need all eternity. How can preachers such as myself and Mark, how can we convey these truths that we will need all eternity to learn? And even then, we won't know the fullest extent because God is infinite. So all we can do is to begin to realize we're dealing with something vast and great. Jesus Christ will return to this earth. He will come in the clouds, and that will be the end. No one's going to hit him, smite him, or nail him to a cross. He will return. Revelation says, you know, with a robe dripped in blood. You know, this is serious stuff. We're dealing with eternity. And my plea is we all make sure that we have bowed the knee to Jesus and we've asked him to save us from our sins. We've repented of that rebellion and asked him to save us. And then that love will come pouring in. So remember these truths. These are not sentiments. This is the truth of the gospel. The Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. That should send us away with a spring in our step. Whatever happens. I was preaching at a church once. I'll close this illustration. And I can't remember the name of the church. If you ask me, I wouldn't remember the name. But a dear elderly Christian, godly person, a lady heard me preach in the morning. And she said, my husband wasn't well enough to come to here this morning. So we're going to come out this evening. We don't normally come out in the evening, but we're going to come out this evening. And I'm going to bring my husband. He wasn't so well, but if he's better, I'll bring him out to hear you preach. And during my sermon in the evening, I noticed people walking out, which is never good if you're a preacher. You don't want people walking out. And one person walked out over here. Two walked out over here, and someone walked out over here. And this was Christmas time, it was winter. And then another two walked out, and then someone came in and talked to someone else, and three people walked out. And I did the closing prayer. I was feeling a bit distracted and a bit worried. I was a young preacher then. And then I closed in prayer. When I opened my prayer, the church secretary was in the pulpit standing next to me. And I thought, oh dear, oh dear. And then he said, Jonathan, would you excuse me? And I said, okay. And he went to the pulpit and made an announcement. And he said, I'm very sorry to tell everyone. And he mentioned this couple, and they had been killed coming to that evening service. Car had hit them on the zebra crossing in front of the church. They were both killed instantly. And there was tears. The whole congregation sort of burst into tears. This was a beloved elderly couple, godly. And we went into the vestry, and the church officers said, why did they come in the evening? They never come in the evening. They never come. Why were they here? Why did they come? And, you know, these sort of things are so awful and terrible, but, you know, God in his wisdom, you know, who knows why these things happen. But that godly couple went straight to glory. They went straight to glory that evening. And sometimes we do not understand why God does what he does, but we have to trust in him. We rest in him. We trust in him. And with Job, we say, if life is really hard for you and you spend many hours in crying and in tears, we say, as with Job, Lord, you know, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Because if you love someone and care for someone, as God does for his children, you know, we know he knows what he's doing. And we have to trust in him. And we know when we get to the end of our lives, which go very quickly, we will look back and say, he hath done all things well. So we trust in the Lord. And that brings, I believe, great strength. And the Lord is great. And when we're in heaven, we'll spend eternity singing our thanks to him. That's a long time, isn't it? How long is eternity? It's a long time. Do you ever worry about maybe being bored in heaven? Well, you'll be so awed with what God has done in Christ that you will just sing to all eternity, forever and ever and ever. And we will be amazed at this love that Jesus had for us. We praise him, and we give him thanks. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. You have it. Do you mind double tapping me? And sing next Psalm 20. Jehovah, hear thee in the day when trouble he doth send, and let the name of Jacob's God thee from all ill defend. But let him help send from above out of his sanctuary, from Zion his own holy hill. Let him give strength to thee. Let him remember all thy gifts, accept thy sacrifice. Grant thee thine heart's wish and fulfill thy thoughts and counsel wise. Thy salvation we will joy. In our God's name we will display our banners, and the Lord thy prayers will fulfil. Now know I, God his King, doth save. He from his holy heaven will hear him with saving strength by his own right hand given. In chariots some put confidence, some horses trust upon. But we remember well the name of our Lord God alone. We rise and upright stand when they are bowed down before. Deliver, Lord, and let the King us hear when we do call. Psalm 20. Thank you.
I remind you to repeat the second line.
Thank you.
Jehovah, hear me in the day when trouble he doth send, when trouble he doth send, and let the name of Jacob's God be defend. All that it helps and from above, and all his sanctuary, and all his sanctuary, from Zion his holy hill, let him give strength to thee. Let him remember all thy gifts, accept thy sacrifice, accept thy sacrifice. From him thy hearts which can fulfill thy thoughts and counsel wise. In thy salvation he will join, in our God's name we will, in our God's name we will. His flame thy praise all fulfill. Now, my God, his kingdom stay, if from his holy hand, if from his holy hand, will give him with the saving strength by his own right hand. In chariots some current confidence, some throws his trust upon, but we remember with the day of our Lord alone. We rise and upright stand when they bow down and fall, bow down and fall. Hear the Lord and love the King, us here when we do call.
Please be seated, Mr. Ramara. I want you to briefly come up and pray some prayer, please.
Thank you.
Given the most gracious, loving, and merciful God, and thank you for again reminding us about this encouraging psalm in Psalm 20, that this is a victory in the battle of life. We are reminded also that Jacob is in the book of Genesis. We are reminded that Jacob wrestled with God and he did not allow God to leave him unless in his prayer, "Don't let me go unless you bless me." May we be like Jacob, O Lord, that even we are facing the difficult battle and struggle of life, help us to be like him in calling unto thee, that when we are surrounded with enemies and dangerous moments of our lives, may we like him to persist in our prayer. Even Paul. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is not I who live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the faith of God, of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good. Thank you very much, brother. Much enjoy your ministry. And we look forward to hearing you again. If you are able to join us again. And so anyway, we will be meeting at 8 o'clock, sorry, 6 o'clock tomorrow for prayer. For those who can join us on Zoom, please do that. So may the Lord bless you all. Thank you. Good night.
Night. Good night. Traveling mercies for everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. I haven't got the hang on. Sorry. Hello? Not sure I
good night. Thank you.
Good night. Yeah. Good night. All right. Goodbye.
I say thank you. Should
good night. Good night, everybody.
Yes.
Good
yes.
night, Mary.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
Mary, are you going back to Salisbury or what are your
no,
plans?
I'm on my way back to Dryburgh.
Okay, see you later then.
Yeah.
All
what
right.
are you doing for supper?
Oh, that's very kind. Probably
I've got nothing prepared, but I'm hoping
don't
something
worry,
might
Mary,
be in the fridge.
Mary, we're on YouTube yeah? still, so could you not? Let's not have that conversation. It's a minute. Let me just give me a moment. I can take this off YouTube. In a minute. Can I? Where is YouTube? Here we are.
Hello?
One moment, please.